Have you ever seen a ghost? Check in with us. John Russell with us. We're taking your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you along with John Russell. His website, again, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, johnrussell.net, as we talk about the paranormal. Tell me about EVPs. What are your take on those, electronic voice phenomena?
I do believe, George, that those are legitimate spirit voices. I do believe that those are voices of people on the other side, possibly interdimensional beings, possibly even nature spirits. But I have experienced EVP. I have gotten some really good EVP myself. One time I was out in the woods all alone, and I held up my recorder, and I said, hey, is anybody out here? Is anybody out here with me? Let me know that you're here. And clear as a bell. You can absolutely hear it clear as a bell. I got peekaboo. So they wanted me to know, yeah, peekaboo, we see you. We're here. We're watching you. And that you can hear on my website if you go to a knock in the attic. .net or writingwithghost.net. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. I've got the EVP posted there. I've gotten several more good EVP, and I'm in the process of building a website for those. And since I'm so busy with my readings, podcast, and everything else, everything comes piecemeal. I'm trying to get this done and just don't have time to do it as quickly as I'd like to. But I've just recently gotten some very, very good EVP. And I believe firmly that there's evidence that there are people on the other side communicating with us. I mean, there are people that have real-time conversations with EVP, and there are people that are addressed by name by people on the other side.
Some of them are so hard to hear when you try to play them on the radio, John. You know, we've had some great ones, but, you know, you'll hear things that.
They use static primarily to communicate. And we don't know why that is. We're still trying to figure that out. And we don't know what frequency that is. Now, think about this. We don't hear the voice at the time with our ears, but there is a frequency in the static that they can communicate through that the recorder picks up. And I have a friend of mine who talked about this the other day. He's a professional musician, and he knows how to manipulate everything there is with software because he does that with his music, with his songs. And he told me, he said, you know, I get EVP, and some of them are super clear, and I put them on the software to analyze them. And he said, I've gone through these things with a fine-tooth comb, and I know what I'm doing because I'm a professional musician, and I know how to do this with my music. But he said, I've gone through these things with a fine-tooth comb, and I cannot find the frequency that these voices are on. They're there, and you can hear them, but I cannot find that frequency. And we both agreed that when we progress to the point that we do, that's going to be like a major, major breakthrough because we may be able to have real-time conversations then with the other side when we can find that frequency.
Let's take some calls. Let's go west of the Rockies. Pat is truck driving in Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Pat. Thanks for calling.
How you doing, George?
Everything's good. Thanks.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, you drive carefully, and what can we do for you?
I got a guardian angel story.
All right, let's hear it.
About 8 years ago, my wife and I used to team drive. And I was driving, had the cruise set, and I fell asleep. And when I went off the road, you know how the shoulders have rumble strips?
Yep.
I didn't even feel it. But anyway, I came to and realized where I was at, and I went back onto the road, didn't even take the cruise off, kept cruising. And I'm thinking, it had to be a guardian angel that woke me up. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, probably. We've heard so many stories from truck drivers. There was one who was nodding off while he was driving his truck around a really swervy canyon road with a huge drop-off. And he woke up and he was ready to go over the cliff, but a hand reached in, grabbed his steering wheel, and steered him back onto the road. And then he, you know, jarred him a little bit. He woke up. There was nobody else in the cab. He thinks an angel reached in and grabbed it. What do you think of that, John?
Absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely believe that. And there are stories similar to what our caller has. There's a lot of stories similar to the one you just told. And I've seen, heard many stories told where people would be in a wreck and trying to get out of the car, and they couldn't, and hands would reach in, grab them, pull them out, pull them to safety, and they turn around and look, and no one's there. Or there's a physical person there, and they pull them to safety, and they set them down, and they thank them, and then they, you know, are watching everything happen around the wreck, and they turn back to look for the person, and the person's gone. They didn't walk off, they didn't drive off, they're just gone. So, yes, absolutely, it can happen.
What's been one of the most bizarre episodes, John, you have faced as a paranormal investigator?
I tell you, the thing that that really freaks me out to this day, and not necessarily as a paranormal investigator, but just paranormal experiences. When I was a kid, we had driven to our friend's house to visit, and as we left, it was the darkest stage of twilight where you'd need your lights on to drive. And coming down, there was a vacant field across from our friend's house full of trees and cactus and shrub and stuff. This is in West Texas. And coming down from the sky in front of our car, falling into that field, was this five-pointed star, literally a pentagram, and about the size of the side of a house. It was about that big, and it appeared to be flat rather than bulbous. It looked like it might have been maybe a foot thick or so, maybe 2 feet. And the edges of the pentagram were absolutely sharp, clearly defined. It was just like a star we drew as kids, you know, the five-pointed star. It was yellow and glowing, and it trailed this little trail, like a little phosphorescent trail that disappeared as it fell. And it fell into this parking lot, and then the light just kind of receded in upon itself and winked out, and that was it. And to this day, I have no explanation for that. And of all the things I've experienced, to me, that's one of the most bizarre, one of the most incredible.
Next up, let's go to Steve, truck driving in Kansas. Welcome to the program. Hello, Stephen. Thanks for calling.
Morning, John and George. Here you go.
There he is.
All right.
Love it.
Hey, I got a couple quick stories here. The night my mom passed away, I don't know what it was. I got back to the house. I was beat. I was at the nursing home all day. Got to bed. I don't know how long it was. All of a sudden, I was woke up by a real pungent pipe smell. I don't know if it was my mom bringing one of her relatives back to say, there he is, or checking on me and stuff like that. And also, we had a little Boston Terrier named Brutus McBootis. And he passed away. We lost him to cancer, and it was probably about 2 months later, my girlfriend was going through and straightening some stuff up, and out of nowhere, a tennis ball showed up on the couch.
Ah, there's your sign.
His favorite thing to play with was a tennis ball.
Yep.
How does that stuff happen, John?
Well, I'll tell you, that's another example of the other side being able to manipulate physical reality. And yes, absolutely, our pets do return, and they do visit us. I have had visitations, physical visitations, from two deceased pets.
That's amazing. Steve, what's your other story for us?
Well, it was about with my mom. When she passed away, it was the day after my birthday, and she hung on until the day after my birthday, and she passed away. I got back to the house, and like I said, I smelled a really strong pipe tobacco in the middle of the night, just woke me up out of a dead sleep. And I didn't know if that was just like my mom coming back with a relative, or her stepmother, or I mean her adopted mother, or her actual father. She was adopted at a very young age, and it's just her coming back to check on me or let them know.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And our relatives on the other side, will our friends even, will use aromas a lot of times to communicate with us. I remember my dad's big thing was mentholatum, and he would use so much of it, you could smell it throughout the house. And after he died, I had moved back home, and I was in my dad's old bedroom, basically, where he had died. And I'm a clean freak, and I've cleaned everything up, and I like candles and incense. I like aromas in the air, all this type of thing. Of course, I use those in my paranormal work as well. So there was no evidence left of any of the mentholatum smell from my dad. And periodically, like wherever I was standing, right under my nose, I would get this huge mentholatum smell, like somebody had just opened up a jar and stuck it right under my nose. And if I moved away from that spot, it wasn't evident. If I came back, it was there. And that would happen various times, various places in the house. And sometimes it would be so strong that my sister's little dogs would, like, sniff and like rub at their eyes and stuff.
They could even sift it, huh?
Yeah, whenever that happened, I would always say, "Hey, Dad, you know, appreciate you coming back. Let me know you're there."
Now, in his case, his mother, I don't think, was a pipe smoker.
Right.
Where would that have come from?
Well, a lot of times they will bring through other people that can create a stronger aroma maybe than they can.
To catch your attention?
Yeah, to get your attention, yeah.
Interesting take. Nancy's with us, San Jose, California. Welcome to the program, Nance. Nope, Nancy's not there. Let's go to Tom in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Tom, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure do.
Oh, great. I'm calling because I had purchased an apartment for investment. It was new construction, and they tore down a catering company and a rehabilitation facility. And so I had rented it to a tenant, and she kept complaining to me about she would store clothing under the bed, and it would get wet. And so I said, well, I don't know about that. And a few years later, I moved into the apartment, and the day I moved in with the cable man, I had the television in a pine armoire that I had pushed away from the cocktail table, from the wall, and the door was touching the cocktail table. And so all of a sudden, the cocktail table that's like 3 by 5 feet glass and the armoire were shaking violently. And I said to him, are you witnessing this? And he said, yeah. So I went out in the hallway, and my neighbor was coming back with his dogs. And so I said, come here, I want you to see something. And that lasted for about 2 minutes. Okay, so then after that, I noticed that I had a cat bed under the bed. And one day I pulled it out, and it was soaking wet. And also, there was a puddle in the center of the living room, and that happened twice, where there were no pipes near it.
Right.
And so then another time I had this cabinet with crystal glasses, and just one glass was violently shaking and nothing else. And then I also experienced this sound, and it was all the time. It was like, and so I decided to, I go out in the hallway. I, you know, didn't hear anything else except in my apartment. So I decided to try to make contact with this spirit. And I said, you know, you're perfectly welcome here. Just please stop disrupting me, because it's really, unnerving. So it stopped. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to mention to you. I had a friend, and we were talking about death, and about 5 days later he died.
Oh, geez.
And so I noticed in that apartment, from the bedroom to the bathroom, there was this closet door, and you'd walk through a walk-in closet, but there were doors on each side, so it was like a galley. And before I would enter the bathroom, the door would move about a foot when I was about 3 feet away from it. So I that was about the things that I noticed that were physical. The cocktail table. Oh, when the cocktail table was making the armoire shake, and then when I pushed the door from the armoire so it wasn't touching the cocktail table, it stopped shaking. It was then the cocktail table that kept shaking.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of apparitions going on there, doesn't it, John?
Yeah, and it's so great to hear people tell these stories. They're experiencing what I've said, physical manifestations from the other side. And again, you know, I love the way that he handled that, because he didn't curse the spirits, he didn't yell at them.
No, he was a nice guy all about it.
Yeah, he said, hey, you know, look, I you're welcome here, I appreciate you being here, but, you know, kind of tone it down a little bit, and the spirits did. And that's exactly the way to handle it. There have been many, many, many documented instances where a person brings in a quote-unquote exorcist or a priest or a minister or whatever or a psychic to quote-unquote close a portal and to get rid of the spirit, exorcise the spirit or whatever. And in 99.9% of those cases, it makes it worse. It amplifies the activity.
Let's go back to Nancy in San Jose, California, west of the Rockies. Tom tells me she's ready. Hi, Nance.
Hi, George, and hi, John.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I have a question for you, John. Lately, I've been experiencing on my security camera, when I've been recording videos in my house and I'm playing it back, that's the time I hear music coming out of the camera.
Right.
What kind of music?
Beautiful. It's high-frequency sounds, you know, like bells and stuff like that. Really.
Is there like a rhythm to it?
Yeah, and then I did more videos and got different rhythms and everything. And
oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah.
Where's that coming from, John?
Well, that's beings on the other side that are literally letting her hear the music of the spheres, like angelic music, or they're creating music for her, and that's their point of communication with her. So what I would do with that, Nancy, I would continue to do that, continue to collect that evidence and enjoy that. And then when you're recording, also ask, you know, who is this? Can you tell me your name? Can you tell me why you're here or why you're communicating this to me? And as a side thought there, did anyone in your family that's on the other side or a friend that's on the other side, were they ever a musician or played an instrument or made music?
Oh, well, my father played the guitar.
Okay. So that could be him communicating from the other side. He played guitar on the other side. Maybe he's making that music and using that as a form of communication with you now.
Wow.
Yeah. So ask the next time you're recording and keep doing that. Keep getting that and enjoying that. And the next time you're recording, ask, say, hey, Dad, is that you? You know, and see if maybe you can get a voice as well.
I also have a friend and that plays piano. She's an expert with piano, and she's going to meet with me and try to play the piano from the tunes that she hears.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Good luck, something then
that you can release as like, hey, we got this music from the other side, make like a little album or something. And
oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
What makes a ghost angry, John, at somebody?
I think the biggest thing is disrespect, just like here in the physical world. If we're disrespected, that angers us more quickly usually than anything else. And I think any spirit, any entity, any being, any person on the other side, if they're disrespected, if they're cursed at, if they're yelled at, if they're threatened or whatever, or their territory isn't respected. Whenever I do a paranormal investigation, I always send out the thought, and sometimes even verbally aloud, I'll tell the spirits, look, you know, I'm not here to cause any harm, to disrespect you, to interfere with your activities. I'm just here to attempt to find out who's here, why you're here, and do you have a message that you want to communicate to us, and find that out. And that's all respect. I think we have to respect the other side.
I think so, too. Then they always probably have some strange message that they want to get to you. Stick with us. We're going to come back for final calls in a moment with John Russell. His website, again, is johnrussell.net. His books include A Knock in the Attic, Writing with Ghosts, and he's working on a third one, which we'll talk a little bit more about when we come back with final calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to sign up for our TikTok event by going to coasttocoastam.com. Click the TikTok icon in the far right-hand corner. We'll be back in a moment with John Russell and take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast. On our next Coast to Coast program, Mr. Lobo joins me to talk about some strange movies, followed by those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines, so make sure you're part of the program tomorrow night. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with John Russell as we talk about the other side. Tell us about what happened to you when you were 6 years old.
Oh, when I was 6 years old, actually about five, between five and six, I was awakened by an old black ghost. And I screamed bloody murder because we didn't have anyone black living with us. I didn't know anyone black at the time, I don't think. And I presumed an intruder had entered the house. And as I screamed, he walked around the doorway. We had a nightlight on that I could see down the hallway with from out of my bedroom. My bedroom door was open. And he walked around the hallway door before I had first seen him peeking around, walked down the hall toward my bedroom, keeping eye contact with me the whole time. And he was physically as solid as you or I. And nothing malevolent about him. No, his look wasn't angry or anything like that. But like I say, I presumed an intruder, and I was 6 years old, between five and six, and it scared the life out of me. and I screamed again. My parents came running, and as they did, he began to disappear. And then I realized that I had seen my first ghost, and then ultimately I realized that his purpose in coming was, hey, kid, got to wake you up, got to open the portal to the other side for you, and got to activate the psychic gift because you're going to help a lot of people worldwide with that someday through the readings that you give. So that was the reason that he came, and that's when all of this started.
And you kept doing it, and you kept getting better and better and better.
Yeah, I became aware of the gift. I became aware that I could accurately predict people's futures. I could tell what was going on in their lives, where they had been, their thoughts, what had happened in their past. And so I began to explore that because I wanted two things. I wanted the truth. There's a lot of things that are unreliable out there in the realms of the paranormal, psychic, religion, spirituality. So I wanted to find out what worked and what didn't, what was true and what wasn't. And then secondly, I wanted to develop that gift and make it as good and as accurate and as helpful as it could possibly be. So I studied everything on the planet, read everything I could get my hands on, experienced everything that I could, and then I began to find out what worked and what didn't, what was accurate, what wasn't, and how I could grow and develop and get better. And after reading professionally for 50 years, I'm still doing that. I'm still learning, I'm still studying, I'm still growing, I'm striving to get ever more accurate, ever better. And everyone reaches a plateau where they can't go beyond that. And I don't think I've reached that yet because I do find myself getting better and more accurate as time goes by and learning more, experiencing more. So that's a precious thing to me.
All right, let's go to the phones. Dan in Seattle, Washington, welcome to the program. How's the heat out there, Dan? Has it subsided a little bit? It probably did. Where do you go? Danny, you there? I hear him. He's there. Nope, going to let you go, though. Next up, we'll go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Steven's with us. Welcome to the show, Steven.
Hi. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I really wanted to thank you personally for broadcasting during the holidays.
Well, speaking of that, we're live on Independence Sunday.
Oh, great. I started listening to you. I was working a gas station graveyard shift here on the freeway, and make two stories really quick. My grandfather joined the Forest Service back in World War II. Up in Taos, he was stationed. Him and his friends, they built a log cabin. Well, he was going to show it to us one time. I was about 5 years old. This is back in the 70s. And so whole family went up to this mountain. I couldn't find it again. It's way up there. And we're walking down this trail, and my mom had my hand, and this voice came in my head. This told me to go to the front of the road. My grandfather was leading us all, and it kept getting louder and louder until finally I broke away from my mom. I ran up to the front, and I could hear everybody laughing and saying, oh, Stephen wants to get to the front. So I was in front of my grandfather going down this single file trail, came upon this huge tree with a root growing across the trail. And the minute I stepped over, the second I stepped over that root, I heard a rattlesnake. And time stopped. And this white light, it was so bright I could barely see anything else, came down, and I looked up at the light, and it said, behold. I looked down, and I felt something lift me up. And the snake hit. I saw the snake miss my foot underneath me in slow motion, and then it let go of me and scared me half to death, and I kept that story for a long time, but time stopped for a few seconds while this happened, and I've got a guardian angel that is looking over me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's another example of that physical intervention where you were literally saved, and you were the one that they could make their voices heard. You were the one that could hear. And that's why they told you, go to the front. If somebody else had stepped over there, they would have gotten bitten. But by you hearing the voice, you were able to run to the front, get over there, discern, analyze the threat, and then be saved from that and save everybody else from it. So that's an example of hearing and obeying what you're told to do.
Had an email, John, in from Alicia in Missouri, and she has said that she heard a ghost say, my gift in Missouri but she doesn't know what that means. But how do they communicate?
Well, sometimes the communications aren't as detailed and aren't as explicit as we would like. But for someone to be told, my gift in Missouri, my initial interpretation of that would be that what you're searching for, you have. It's there. That your gift is there. And that could refer to abilities that you have and developing those abilities. It could be a meaning of your gift is there, your home is there, you're meant to be there. So I would look at the opportunities that you have there and expand and develop on those. That's my initial interpretation of that.
You have to interpret it, though, don't you?
Yeah. Most of the time there has to be an interpretation. Sometimes things come through so clearly and so literally that you know exactly what the leading is. But a lot of times there does have to be some interpretation, and I think that's because, you know, try as we might, we haven't perfected that communication with the other side. There is that veil there, and we have to get through it. They have to get through it to us, and that communication can sometimes be difficult till they get through what they can. And sometimes it comes through in symbols because that's easier than a paragraph of words. So we have to listen to intuition. We have to learn to interpret symbols, various other meanings. We have to learn to interpret short phrases and things because sometimes that's all they can give us.
Next up, let's go to Roger in New Orleans, east of the Rockies. Raj, take it away.
Hey, yeah, wow, cool. I'm grateful to be on. Super long-time listener from like a year before Art Bell even talked about, hey, you guys, there's this company, Pfizer, coming out with something called Viagra in a couple of weeks. Yeah, I'm from like back there. I was on the air probably like 20 years ago, too. Hey, I want to give a huge, huge round of applause to John because, he hit he like kind of rang a bell for me. In the beginning of the show, when he mentioned he was about to fall and then like a pair of hands saved him, that's happened to me two or three times in my life, among other things. But check this out. I'm out of New Orleans, and 100 years ago, I was a kid. I was like 17, working on the river. And the guy operating the crane on these barges that we're all on the Mississippi River in New Orleans in the summertime, we're getting cooked. It's just work. We're busting our tails. Anyway, the boom of the crane, you know, like the actual crane part, was not lined up perfect. And so when he goes to lift up this barge cover, naturally with my luck, it swings me way over this sort of gap between this long row of barges, right? And this is right after a tugboat pass. Well, those waves would always make this one gap smash together, back and forth, like 20 times. Well, what do you think is about to happen? So I'm slipping and sliding down, like it looks like a Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner cartoon, except it's me that's about to get, you know, the complications. So I slide over the edge, and just as it's about to go back over the bar so I won't fall into the water and get smushed like a pancake, well, no, I fall a little bit sooner than that. My fingertips catch the edge of this one barge, and it's like 10 feet high up off the water because it's empty. I'm kind of almost able to pull myself up, but it ain't working. I've only got a couple seconds before these barges slam together, and I'm smushed anyway. A pair of hands.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
A pair of hands. And, I mean, I only had my fingertips. I used to be a pull-up guy, but you know, there's only so much you can do when it's just your fingertips, right? A pair of hands pushes me over the edge. And I was wearing this old pair of combat boots from back in the ancient days when, you know, I don't know, soldiers were way tougher and stuff. But anyway, I get over the edge of this bar thanks to this pair of hands. And they smash together just in time to squeeze the lip of this one boot. I think it's my right boot because that was my leg that came over last. And one of the guys who saw that workplace mishap said he could not figure out how I got over the edge of that. He was swearing he was about to watch a youngster get killed.
You have been crushed.
Yep.
They come in and save you like that too, John, time and time again.
Absolutely they do. And, you know, we have to always be thankful. We have to give thanks for these experiences that we have. I am constantly giving thanks every day, all day long, for my gift, the ability to read for people and to help them, for the paranormal experiences that I have, the life-saving experiences that I've been privileged to have happen to me. And we have to be thankful for these things. They are real. They do help us, and we have to have gratitude.
Did they ever try to trick us? Have you ever been tricked by a demon or something like that?
No, and again, I'm not too big on demons, but I do believe that nature, spirits, elementals, those type of things exist, and I do think that, you know, some things have senses of humor, perhaps, that are a little bit different than ours, and I have had things stolen from me. I have had things sitting there in broad daylight. I'd turn away and turn back, and it's gone. So somebody on the other side wanted it, and then I've had them bring me things by the same token. So I think there's all kinds of personalities and intelligences and intents out there, and we have to learn what we're dealing with in a very respectful way.
We've got time to go to you, Gordon, in Plant City, Florida. Now, we're not talking about student loans. We're talking about ghosts, Gordy.
Yeah, listen, I have a theoretical question. At my assessment, after my experience, and you're very accurate, reading the time before last was accurate, and that you really hear from God. But you said on your blog once that we have to do our part, and with reference to that, everything you said last time was correct, except I haven't found that girl that was supposed to appear February, and I did try real hard to the end, but I was a little bit of a slacker. Was there something I was supposed to do?
Yeah, you know, I think that, and I appreciate you letting me know and telling everybody that the reading was accurate for you and was helpful for you.
Good.
But as we discussed about that, there can be an accurate prediction that we receive, and if we don't do everything in our power to follow through with that, like you said, I was a little bit of a slacker there at the end. We have to stay the course, and it doesn't mean that we miss all opportunity forever. It means we miss that opportunity. And then we have to look for the next open door for that. We have to be working toward that and being mindful of that and doing everything in our power we can to connect with that. So it'll come around again, but next time don't slack.
So, John, can we expect book three again?
Hopefully by the end of this year, early part of next year.
All right, not bad at all. Not bad at all. And now, since you've been doing this, and you've been doing it how many years now?
50.
50 years.
Half a century.
How do you see the rest of our next year?
Well, I think the rest of this year we're going to go through more nonsense with the COVID thing and all that, and that's going to continue to bandy about. Where we have our political unrest, that's you don't need to be psychic to see that. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises for us next year. I think between now and then we get some more UFO disclosure from the government. I think at some point these beings are going to decide to interact more directly, and I think we need to prepare ourselves for that. I think that as things begin to open up, we get toward the end of this year and 2022 comes about, I think we're going to see have some opportunity for some really neat things next year, and I feel like some big psychic energy, some big paranormal energy on the horizon. So let's look for that. Let's anticipate that. Let's work on receiving that, connecting with that. I think there's a lot of good things there to come.
All right, my friend. Let's get you back in again as soon as we can, John Russell. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.